Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast.
Do you remember this sound?
EON FM, broadcasting on 92.3 megahertz.
Well, let's run for the money.
Yes, the radio tuner inside the car. How fun was it to flip along on the knob and come across the new sounds as you drive along? And so intuitive as well to just reach out your hand and go, no, I don't like what they're saying. I want to hear something else. Yeah. Tonight, we're looking at the ways we've listened to sound in our cars throughout time. In a world of tapping screens and digital audio, isn't this topic just full of nostalgia for you? Like, imagine getting into a car and pushing a cassette tape into the player. And maybe you're the kind of person who likes to pump it up. Yeah, I can see you there with your fist out the window, pumping it as you drive along with this blasting in the sound system. What about your press button radio? Wasn't that a revelation when that came along? You could have 25 presets all lined up to flick along to. Were you someone who had an 8-track in their car? Now, this was short-lived. I think cassettes were the vibe in 70s and 80s, but I do remember a little device you could plug, push a cassette in, and it had a cord coming out of the tape player which would plug into your iPod. Now that, to me, is genius. Another great car audio memory for me is the, I reckon, dozens of CDs that were rolling around our car growing up. You'd pick one up, spit on it, rub it on your pants, put it in, and it would sound like this. Yeah, 0467 922 702. Text me. What was the king of audio listening experiences in the car? 0467 922 702. Maybe you've made your own Frankenstein, and we're going to get to a few that have come through already on the text line. Just like cars, audio has seen a revolution in the past 70 years. And we're going to take a look back now at the different ways we've listened to audio in our cars, the musical genres that have blasted in our speakers. And stay tuned, because very soon, if you are driving, we're going to play some tracks that will test your sound system. I want your memories, though, on 1300 800 222. How have you listened to audio in your car? Was it the cassette tape? Was the CD the one for you? Or maybe back in the 90s, you loved the radio, or it was the subwoofer. Get in touch with me right now on 1300 800 222. Joining me tonight is Craig Harrison, director of Old School Car Audio. Hi, Craig.
Hello. How are you?
Very good. Has this brought up a lot of memories for you?
Oh, you've triggered. There's so many triggers. Lots of trauma coming back, and also a lot of good memories. The struggle was real back in the day with the CDs rolling around the car.
And does the breath trick really work? That's what I want to get into tonight. I've also got with me here motoring journalist Peter Anderson, who some listeners of the ABC would recognise his voice already. Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Sorry for invading your evenings, listeners.
All good. You are on ABC Radio Nightlife. Now, when you heard that tuner sound, this one that we heard a little bit earlier, I'd love to know what it brought up for you, Craig. Have a listen.
EON FM, broadcasting on 92.3.
What memories does that bring up for you?
High school.
High school?
That brings up memories of, pressing play and record on the cassette deck, trying to record the radio.
Not in your car, I hope.
So you could make a mixtape, right, that you could then put in a car. So, but tuning the radio, no, it was, I think around when you're relying on the radio station to broadcast the music, your choice is no longer there. So you have this, you're waiting on that song, and then your song would come along, and of course you'd hit a bad reception area, and trauma would ensue.
Peter, when did having the ability to play audio and sound in our cars start?
Well, it goes back to the 30s, which I mean, I didn't actually know that until I looked it up, and I thought, wow, the 1930s would not have been a quiet automotive environment. How on earth would you hear anything? And what would you hear? I mean, you'd hear some 1930s ABC radio. I mean, that would have been tremendous. But you wouldn't have heard it over the cacophony. I mean, though cars back then were really loud. So I guess it was just for sitting and parking, watching the kids play whatever kids played in the 1930s.
I wonder if the inventor of the in-car audio system was thinking about, how can we drown out the sound of these awful motors going?
Very possibly. Well, I mean, it was it was Motorola. It was the company Motorola. That's where Motorola was born. Motorized.
Motorola?
Yeah, Motorized Victrola, which was just, so Victrola, I think they made phonographs or something.
But the motor is the car.
No, so Motorola, like the phone.
Yeah. The motor part means car sound.
Yeah, well, Motorized Victrola. Yeah, I guess so.
Let's go with it.
That must be it. Hey, they're not here to defend themselves.
Motorola, if you're listening.
There was an interesting, it's an interesting observation because I asked the question, when is a radio a radio? And although we had radios back then, that pre-World War II was, we had the wireless, right? Mm. So people would gather around the wireless. It was a communal listening environment. It was, everyone would listen together. And then post-World War II, all that technology was there and suddenly there's this commercialization of a unit that people could use. But it was still powered by its own battery. And cars in the 40s didn't have alternators. Mm. They had dynamos or DC generators. So we didn't have stereo. Everything was mono. So, and there was no FM.
Well,
So there's all these challenges. Although there was these radios, I think it was pretty limited. The transistor only came out in the late 40s from memory anyway. Mm, so,
yeah.
So in the early days, I guess the audio or the sound system of the car, and the sound system is a pretty modern term, it was a separate thing to the car. So the car kind of had to develop a little bit before you could have something that could actually power an audio system within the car.
Yeah, and that kicked off in the 50s, I think, with the boom of the beginning of the home hi-fi era. Mm. And suddenly there was technology and then we had alternators and away we went. It was some exciting things. And that 50s hot rodding scene, that for me is kind of the beginning of.
Again, what were they listening? What was the 50s version of Doof Doof, I wonder?
Like rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Can
Grease.
You imagine?
I think of Grease, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And it must have been so revolutionary at the time to be able to jump into your greased up hot rod car and throw on some Elvis. How good. We're talking about cars and their sound systems, how it's changed over the years and where we're at today, but also where it came from. I'd love to hear from you. What was your golden era of in-car listening experiences? Tim from Wangaratta on the text line. There is nothing like perfect sound in your car, Peter and Craig. I can see you are getting on board with this text. I have to have a loud, clear, clean stereo in any of the cars I own. Subs are a must. That deep, throbbing, ear-devastating bass that rumbles your insides. It brings so much more emphasis to the music I love to drive to. You feel the music. That's from Tim from Wangaratta. Thanks for getting in touch, Tim. Peter, there's something about, what is it about having a great sound system in your car that people love?
I've often wondered this because I've never really owned a car that had a good sound system apart from one or two. I don't have fantastic hearing. So there's a point at which having an amazing sound system is completely wasted on me. But there is something to be said for having something with that really nice, clear sound because you're often stuck in the car for a long time. And I remember road trips with my parents back in the 80s in a 200B with a single speaker AM radio in the back of the Northern Territory, and you couldn't hear it. And that's we were bored out of our brains as it was and not being able to hear what was being said in the front seat. So having that sound that that fills the car and kind of takes you away from the drudgery. Because driving around the city is drudgery. There's nothing, not much fun about it. So having that really nice environment and the sound certainly contributes to that. I think that's what it's really, what most people are looking for. But then there are some people who are just looking to say, I've got 19 speakers in here and you don't.
Craig, you're the director of old school car audio. I had a quick look at your TikToks and online presence. It seems like car audio is your whole bag. Is there a name like Revheads and Motorheads for car audio people who are just obsessed with sound system and seeing cars?
Yes, there is. It's a whole subculture. And within the subculture, there are groups. And it is quite remarkable. I've often reflected on my own journey from high school to now, because it was a hobby for me for a lot of years, like decades. I was a user. I was a participant. You know, I had multiple cars, a bit like Tim that texted. I really, his language resonates with me. I hear it a lot from people. And I've also, you know, said that myself from time to time. So there are the different groups within the cultures, the different types of listeners.
And what do you call yourselves?
Well, yes, this is going.
Sounds big.
Auto audiophiles?
Pandora's box, yes. Well, you could call yourself an audiophile. Now I can just hear now all the home hi-fi audiophile guys all taking a deep breath and pouring themselves strong whiskies, right? So from what I've reflected on, and I've interviewed a lot of people too as part of my journey, to ask them, well, what it is about car audio that really, you know, why did you go and spend all that money, you know, because I have, so I want to know what other people's stories are. And I think there's two groups, two really broad groups. So let's not get hung up on semantics. There are sound quality guys, and there are what we call SPL guys, or bass heads, or guys that just want to be really loud.
The no substitute for air displacement. Was it no replacement
no
for
replacement,
air
displacement? No yeah. replacement.
What
for
does that
displacement.
Mean?
Bigger cone area, more power. So people, it was a coin, a catchphrase, I think, back in the 80s where we say no replacement for displacement, a bit like engine capacity.
Mm, yeah. It was bigger a play pistons. On that. So
yeah,
a big
yeah.
speaker pushes more air.
That's right.
And, you know, makes the windows rattle and all of that, which has probably explained some of my hearing issues.
I'm starting to realise the Pandora's box that I've opened on the car sound systems.
I'll try and make it easy for everyone. And I think it's part of that car culture, right? Car audio guys were the tinkerers of the car culture, right? So they were typically people that would like to tinker with things and not necessarily rev heads. So they sort of funneled into the audio side. They might have had different links to music or whatever. But, you know, it comes from that 50s hot rodding scene, you know, that masculine sort of show of, how do I say this, expression of yourself, you know, social defiance. There's an appeal to driving a disruptively loud vehicle. Well, the same goes with car audio. There's a real appeal to having a super loud car. Mm. And yes, it can be clear and have fidelity and tonal accuracy and et cetera, et cetera. But there's a real appeal to it. And that is exacerbated by bass. Bass in a car is enhanced because of the acoustic chamber a car is. And so music suddenly becomes something physical. You're not just listening to it through a set of headphones. You're feeling it. Mm. So whereas music in the past was a communal activity, and it still is today, you might go to a rock concert, you're with people, you might be at a nightclub, you're with people listening to music. When you're in your car, it's a private experience. So the way you listen changes when you sit quietly on your own. It's a bit different. And then you may want to project that listening experience onto other people when you wind your window down and drive around. And that goes to that culture of, you know, sort of projecting yourself on the environment. But so that's perhaps one category. And then the sound quality guys, you know, really, really fine detail. Some of these guys have, you know, $100,000, $500,000 home hi-fi setup. Guys who I've met who have, you know, $50,000, $70,000 car sound systems. They want to try and recreate that listening environment from their home hi-fi.
And that's really tricky, isn't it? Because the surfaces in cars are so completely different to what you find at home. You've got glass, you've got plastics of varying quality, you've got leather, different thicknesses of leather. I mean, there's the focal audio system in the new Peugeot 308 where they've actually gone and sent all of the samples of all the materials and the actual mock-up of the cabin to make the sound better. And I thought, oh, yeah, sure. And then so I was in the car without it, and then I got in the car with it, and I'm like, wow, this makes a huge difference. Because I mean, I'm sure you agree with me, most out-of-the-box car systems are crap. They do the job. That's all they do. But then someone goes and spends 70 grand. I mean, wow, that just blows me away.
Yeah, the start for the guys really into sound quality is you gut your car, you buy your nice expensive car, you take it to pieces, you put layers of sound deadening on to dampen vibration of panels, insulate against road noise, you know, vibration control, and then you start building the stereo, then you run the cabling, and then the batteries, and now we're into selecting components, and now we're into digital signal processors, and they might play with two or three types of speakers and position and angles, and you know, you set up the real-time analyzer in the car, which is a microphone, which is, you know, looks at the frequency response in the car, and I do that. I love that.
You have a little device that you get into your car with, and it tests the frequency of the sound system. I mean, this is intense, Craig.
Yeah, it's great.
I feel like the rev heads and the mechanics of the scene, you know, they're covered in grease, they're wheeling themselves out from under the car, they're banging on things with spanners. I don't know what mechanics do. And they look over at the car audio guys, and they're kind of like doing the finer detail work. Is there a bit of rivalry between the two, I wonder?
Yeah.
I think it's respectful.
Is it respectful?
I think there's respectful because I think, you know, what you're just describing, we're pulling the car apart, that's like someone taking, you know, like a small hatchback and dropping a V10 into it. It's this kind of transformation of what the car's purpose is and going through that really detailed effort to make that happen. Mm. And so I think there's that begrudging respect, but I don't think either side understands the other side of the argument.
Agree. Yeah, agree. Mm.
You're listening to ABC Radio. This is Nightlife. My name is Bridie Tanner, filling in for Phil Clark, who will be back with you from Monday night. And we're having a great time here because we're talking about a really fun topic, how we listen to sound in our cars. We've got Catherine on the text line here. My VC V8 Valiant had a T-bar console and bucket seats. The 8-track was a feature and installed with two speakers on the shelf behind the back seat. Creedence Clearwater Revival featured at max volume with the windows down. Oh, Catherine, that sounds great. So I guess, yeah, when did cars start to really consider, the car manufacturer start to really consider the driver's listening experience in building this car and designing the car, Peter?
I reckon that probably didn't start coming until I'm kind of theorizing here. It probably didn't really start to happen until the 80s because car interiors up until then were pretty awful, like brittle materials or just bare metal and not much in the way of carpets. Again, cars stayed pretty loud right into the 80s and 90s. And so there wasn't a lot of point unless you're at the top end. And I'm not talking Ferraris because they were even louder. I'm talking cars like the Mercedes S-Class, where they would have put some effort into it. Rolls-Royce probably spent a bit of time on it. But again, it comes down to customer demand. Everything in cars comes down to customer demand. If suddenly customers started not buying cars because they had scratchy plastics would go. But that's just an example of customer demand. But what has happened is people have become, I think people over the years, because of their access to music, you know, not just, you know, a few CDs, but the entire music library of the planet through streaming services. And I think CDs started that. I think they have become more demanding because I have noticed an improvement in car stereo during my driving life, which is coming up on 30 years. And, you know, the first, even the new cars when I was first driving had pretty ordinary stereos. But now anything less than six speakers, and most of the speakers are rubbish, but anything less than that to fill the space, and people are going to get a bit leery.
Hey, this would sound pretty cool, I reckon, coming through your V8 Valiant. What do you reckon, Craig?
That song is good. Oh, we do a lot of, I hope you're all sitting down. We do a lot of Harley Davidsons. when people go, oh, what do you mean? And I said, well, the bagger bikes with the saddlebags on the side, the new Harley, the Road Glide, the Ultra Glides, right? They have speakers in them and they're rubbish. Like most cars, they're rubbish, right? Harley would like you to think you're going to hear them on the road. But the guys that ride, they want to hear the music. So you do the impossible. You upgrade their bikes. You strip the bike down. You upgrade the power system. You put different amps in, different speakers. I even tune the bike with my little microphone, Bridie. Yes, I know. And these guys can hear the music down the highway at 100 kilometres an hour over those overtly loud exhausts through a helmet, which is attenuating the frequencies anyway. They can still hear their music clear. And you'll be lucky enough that in your car, four cars behind the bike, you'll also hear
the music. I don't know about lucky.
That's the song. There's a playlist. It's really fascinating when you meet different parts of different cultures within the automotive, and I'll throw the bike guys in there as well because they're a whole different breed as well. Their playlists are different to the sound quality guys' playlists. I think if someone said to me, what's the playlist of, that some guy turned up and he was a real, SQ orientated guy, I could probably not tell him his five tracks that he's got queued up to test his sound system for everyone because everyone's got the same tracks,
Yeah, sound people are just very typical, aren't they? I'll tell you a story, and I'm speaking with Craig Harrison, Director of Old School Car Audio, and motoring journalist Peter Anderson. Bridie Tanner is my name. So when I first went to uni, I had a Hyundai Excel, small, cheap car, and the first thing I did with my money for textbooks and a new laptop is go down and get a sound system put in this tiny little crappy car. I mean, there must be people who spend more money on the sound system than the car itself. And I do want to bring in here Becky Toothill from Extreme Car Audio in Blacktown. Becky, thanks for joining us on Nightlife. What is your typical customer? What do they look like?
Oh, look, we get a lot of the standard vehicles, the BA Fords, the Toyota Corollas. Sometimes you get the old Seekers, but all they want, they go with bass before they actually go for sound quality. So you with your little XL and you went and spent your hard-earned year's wage on something before anything that was a priority is what we get, the young generation. They just want something to bounce down the street in.
And why is it worth it, Becky? Why is it worth it for a car with a great sound system?
Look, I think everyone finds a lot of different things or gets a lot of different things out of music. Like you might be driving to your weekend sport, your grand final. You might be in a bad mood. You might have had a long day. Like everyone does tune into their own style of music to relax. And some people might find that with some head-banging heavy metal, or they might find that with some, talkback radio. But what you get out of music and to be able to just put your windows up and lose yourself on the road, car audio has a massive, massive market because it's not just about buying speakers and putting it in your car. It's what you get out of the sound.
Do you have a particular nostalgia for any old car sound systems? Are you a cassette person? Do you miss the CDs? Or I remember you used to be able to stick a USB into a head unit and you could have your tracks queued up on the USB. What was your sort of golden era, Becky?
I've got to be honest. I've got an old VX-R8 Club Sport and I put a basic head unit in it, but I needed CD. And I still, to this day, I actually drove that car for the first time in 18 months over this last week. And I have a big, gigantic book of CDs. But I remember getting into a Daihatsu Charade factory tape deck and I was in high school and I went up to my music teacher and I said, how do I get this list of songs onto a cassette? And he said, give me 2 weeks. And he came back and gave us a box of cassettes. And we drove around aimlessly listening. And you have to push 2 buttons in to pause and rewind. And look, I've got to say that bring back the cassette.
Actually, that's a really good point. You just made, well, you made a bunch of really good points. But that thing about riding around with your friends, listening to music, particularly when you're of a certain age, as I am, you'd done the thing where you'd recorded it off the radio, or, you know, you'd done the legal thing and bought it. And you'd go around, and like, because, I mean, Sydney in the 90s, if you think it's boring now, my goodness, Sydney in the 90s was very dull. So we just drove around listening to music. And I mean, I had music on in my car delivering pizzas because there's nothing else to listen to.
Look, I'm a Lower Blue Mountains girl. We used to start from the Lower Blue Mountains, and I don't even know where we went. Manly, Bondi, Sydney, Parramatta. You just drove everywhere. And as long as you had your music, nothing else mattered. Like, it was a tank of petrol and a really good night in a car.
That's true, yeah.
It's great. Brilliant. It's great the way it can soundtrack the journey. So I lived about an hour from the beach growing up, and I loved Jack Johnson CDs because they go for about an hour back to front, and you can just put it on when you start your drive, and when you finish the Jack Johnson CD, you're at the beach. And it's like, it's almost like the songs have a little mark point in the journey of where you are along the way.
And see how you mentioned Jack Johnson. It's like you can really, a lot of people can specifically recognise certain points in their life or certain occasions based on a song, music. Like, and that's the evolution of music as well as it is car audio. When you went from, you know, black and white TVs to coloured TVs, we've gone from cassette to CD, radio, AM and FM, it's now USB, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, Bluetooth. Like, it just, you remember different stages of your life based on what you had available at the time.
Yeah, we remember holidays. My wife and I, you know, Flunk's Play is Scotland in the winter, and the Sneaker Pimps Becoming X is Tasmania on our honeymoon. And when we were in Italy earlier this year for our 25th wedding anniversary, and we had to pick an album, you know, to remember that trip by. The only problem was the car was too loud, so we couldn't hear it. So I can't remember what album it was, but you do mark those points in your life with particular music, and if you want to take yourself back to that, so. I know if I've had a rotten day, I'll put on Mint Royale's Don't Falter really loud in the car, and that's it. I'm happy again because it reminds me of a time when I was really happy all the time because I was young and didn't have any responsibilities.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's that emotion. Music evokes emotion when we listen to certain songs, and then we also use music to regulate our emotions or diminish undesirable emotional states. And then the car being the surrogate home, you know, it's all tied in together. It's a great experience.
You're listening to ABC Radio. This is Nightlife. Bridie Tenner filling in for Philip Clark tonight. How do you listen to audio in your car? That's what we're getting into. And I have 3 of the biggest minds with me now to get into it. So if you have a question, what a great night to ask it. Craig Harrison is with us, Director of Old School Car Audio. We've got motoring journalist Peter Anderson and Becky Toothill, owner of Extreme Audio Blacktown. Becky, I'm going to let you go because I know you're not well tonight, but I do appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much.
Now, I also want to bring into the conversation Will in Young. Will in Young has an absolute monstrosity of a car sound system. And this is something I'm very interested in, the Frankenstein do-it-yourself energy of Will's sound system. I sent you and Craig and Peter a photo of this tonight to get an idea of what we're working with here. Will, thanks for joining us. Can you explain your design?
Oh, God, which one? So the original was a Ford Courier, which I think was a 1991 Courier model, I mean. And I had an iPod Mini through one of those tape cassette aux cord things going into this really old car, and then we just make that work, and that was our fun. That was what we did.
It looks like you've got a little portable speaker there as well.
The monster.
Oh yeah, there's
This is a later Ford you've bedeviled with this. This was sent to me in a public place, and I can't return to that restaurant after the noise I made when I saw this.
Yeah, and that was our fun. But before that, we had to rip all the music onto the iPod Mini as well, so it was quite a process.
Mm.
I love it. Why were you so committed to getting this system set up? Was the car sound system broken?
Oh, no, just at the time, we were just broke, and it's all the money we had, and we just had to make it work. But it also, the character of it as well really overtook me, and just the fun of it, and I'm just a bit strange like that in my own way. And I just loved it. It was this old beat-up utility that just I had so much fun with.
I think you do need music for long drives. Mm. I mean, I've always found driving a car a long distance that has a broken sound system, it's just like, it's hell. It's hellish. I've found ways around it, like including putting a laptop on the passenger seat and just playing music out of that just for something to listen to.
So my first car didn't even have a stereo because it had at some point been removed, as had the speakers. I don't know why people were cannibalizing speakers from a 1979 Honda Accord. So I bought a Discman and two really cheap cube speakers that rolled around unrestrained on the passenger seat and just listened to the clouds and the falling joys while I was delivering pizzas, because it was so dull without any, like, you don't want to be alone with your thoughts when you're doing that, because you're wearing a Pizza Hut uniform and everyone thinks their Dougie jokes are really funny.
On the text line, CDs skip when you go over a bump. Cassettes don't. That's from Lorraine. So that's 1 point for cassette tapes over CDs. And Aaron from Sydney says, nothing beats the moment when you drive near someone else using the same frequency on their radio transmitter, and just for a few seconds, you hear whatever music they're listening to. Get a brief glimpse into the life of some complete stranger also driving to work. Beautiful.
Oh, I think they're talking about where you could buy those little transmitters that they kind of plugged into the headphone port. And so if you were using the same one as someone else, you could listen to what they were listening to.
Is that what you had there, Will?
Similar kind of setup thing. It just to make it work, you know, you kind of got by with whatever it was that would get you over the line. That was pretty much it.
This was a MacGyver setup. This is terrible radio, but I can see this thing that was put into Will's car, and it's absolutely, I mean, it looks like under the bonnet of a Renault, actually. There's just wires everywhere. It's fantastic.
That's how it all begins.
Yeah. Oh, Craig, do you think Will might have a future in the car audio file world?
I've already filed. I've catalogued him already. So catalogue of different types of car audio tinkerers. So that's how it starts. People tinker, and you know, you're connecting speakers from home hi-fi systems. You don't know what you're doing, but it sounded good for the 5 minutes that it worked. That's how we rolled, you know.
Yeah, well,
especially back in the 80s.
You can file me and Will under the same category, because I love a good sound system, have no idea what I'm doing, but love to tinker. Another thing I love to do in the modern cars, you can go, this is only me who does this, and I'll do it while someone else is driving as well. Go into setup, audio settings, and then you can move this little thing to pull the sound to the back seats or to the front seats or to the left, to the right.
Oh, this little fader and the balance.
The fader and the balance.
Yeah.
Or you could play with the treble and the bass. I mean, these are basic settings. I'm sure the settings, Craig, would get so much more advanced, like full equalizers or mixes in your car.
Pretty much, yeah. And that is, you know, for a lot of car audio people, that's normal. Like, it's very, that's, you know, their base level. So that's kind of where we sit, where, you know, a digital signal processor in pretty much every car audio system that you construct, where you set the listening experience for the driver, and then you set it perhaps for a passenger, and then you can set a third setting for sort of everyone if he has multiple people in the car. And it's all about bringing the music up front, whereas when you listen to music in the car, sometimes it sounds like it's down in the doors where the speakers are. And what you can do is time correct, you know, all the speakers. You can equalize the car, you can bring that sound up on the dash, so it sounds like the band is in front of you out on the bonnet playing. And it is a real game changer when you have that experience. You go, wow, how did I, you know, how have I been listening to my music before?
I reckon I know what you mean by time correct, but can you explain that? Because we're talking tiny fractions of a second, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. But you are also fooling your hearing. You know, the mind is very, you know, you can really trick the brain.
Mm.
But what you're doing is, if you're the driver in a car, and the left speaker in the passenger door is further away than the right speaker, you delay the sound of the right speaker. You delay
nobody
that.
Nobody is going to care. No normal person is thinking about this, Craig.
I'm telling you now, when you have had the experience of a really well-tuned car, right, it's mind-blowing.
You can't go back. Craig, for normal people driving in their car right now, normal people who have a car sound system, they get in, they turn it on, they know volume up, they know volume down. What are some of the settings that's likely already built into their car sound system that they could have a fiddle with when they pull over and do it safely to enhance the audio quality and the listening experience they can have while driving?
Yeah, really good question. And that all depends on the car. There's a lot of variables. What I tend to say is turn everything off. Turn off your bass boost, turn off your loudness, turn off all your equalizers, run that as flat as you can. And you got a flat EQ in your car, then you'll at least hear the music that as it was recorded coming through your speakers. And then start adjusting things bit by bit incrementally. Okay, maybe most cars have an inbuilt equalizer in the head unit, you can adjust a few frequencies. You can turn the bass up a little bit, you can turn the treble up. But I say go in, strip all your settings out, flatten it out, and then start again and just see what you can do.
Yes, go ahead.
There's a car journalist who I don't know who this person is, but I know that I've had that the same person has been in the car before me because the treble is turned right up and the bass has been left alone. I don't know if it's a troll to see who's looking.
Does anyone care?
Like, why is this so tinny? So-and-so's had it back down.
I've met this amazing guy in Melbourne when I was working over there. His name's Damien Tennant. He could be listening. Damien's actually clinically deaf. And he has one of the nicest sound systems, well, he did have, he's taken that out, but he's got another car. He's an audiophile. He builds high-end sound systems for himself.
Wow.
Multiple subwoofer speakers. The guy's deaf. And I had this great chat with him about how do you listen to the music, you know, like, you know, completely stupid here, but, and he tunes his car. So he has a hearing report. He can see what frequencies he literally cannot hear and which ones he can. So he tunes his car for the frequencies that he can't hear, he'll boost all those. Strangely enough, when you get in the car, it actually sounds really good. But he's feeling a lot of the music as well as hearing the frequencies he can hear. But, you know, it's a great example of this guy who's deaf but really enjoys car audio.
That is incredible.
That's cool.
That is so cool. Yeah. I'm with motoring journalist Peter Anderson, and I have director of old school car audio, Craig Harrison, with us as well. And tonight, Craig, you've brought us some audio we can play with for people who are driving in their cars right now to take a listen to how each clip is going to impact their sound system. So we're going to start with Dire Straits, Money for Nothing, a classic driving song, I would say. What do you want people to listen out for when I play this clip?
So I think on that track, you get a really nice sound stage no matter what car you're in. I think it's a really wide recording. It's big and it builds nicely. And then it's got just great frequencies that play well on most sound systems. So if you've got an average system, that's one of the songs that you play because it makes it sound better.
So here we go. This is Money for Nothing by Dire Straits. And if you have an average sound system, this will even sound good for you.
What's that? Hawaiian noises. You're banging on them bongos like a chimpanzee. Oh, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Do it. Get your money for nothing. Get your chicks for free. We got to install a microwave oven. Custom kitchen delivery.
Dare I say, that sounds like the kind of song I would be listening to if I was an car audio auto mechanic. It kind of feels like the song you would have on at the place that you know, at the studio. What word am I looking for? Where do you work? At the garage.
That's it. They wouldn't call it a garage, would they?
What do you call it, Craig?
Chop shop, the garage, yeah.
Chop shop. I thought it was going to be something, you know, something French, where the dreams are made or something. Well, garage is French, so I guess that's fair.
Ah, le garage.
Le garage.
Okay, okay, let's go to this next track, Meanest Blues in Town. What does this song represent for you?
So, yeah, this has great clarity, accuracy, and very excellent musically, sophisticated. It will highlight a good sound system and it will also highlight a bad sound system because the speakers won't be able to reproduce that tonal uniformity, if you like.
So this is a decider of whether or not you have a good sound system in your car.
Indeed.
Got the meanest blues in town. Got the meanest blues around. Got the meanest blues in town.
You're on ABC Radio and we are testing out your car's sound system right now. Did that sound good or a little crackly, crappy, not so good? That could mean you have a great sound system or a not so good sound system. Bridie Tanner with you on Nightlife. We've just had a text in, Stephen from Dudley Park, South Australia. On a long car trip, says Stephen, I always preferred to listen to AM radio and would happily switch from a regional station to regional station as you go along. I do that too, Stephen, because I would mostly be on my own and I liked listening to the broadcaster's voices. Mm. It helped me feel connected beyond my solitariness and I looked forward to hearing my favourite regional stations to give me the sense that I was close to my destination. That is gorgeous, Stephen. Yeah, I obviously love radio. That's why I've ended up here. But yeah, that beautiful thing of the frequencies in the car, the tuning, you know, 94.5 and then you get down the road and it's 107.5 and you stumble upon all of these great conversations from local places as you're going. I mean, I'm the radiophile, I guess, here. Craig, do car audiophiles have that love of radio or is it more about getting in and playing your own tracks?
So it's about the control of the music. So it's, don't touch the dial of someone who's into car audio. Don't be that passenger. So you've got control of the music in your car and your sound system and you start listening to, sometimes you're listening to the equipment more than you're listening to the music. Other times you're really into your tunes, but I think you have that choice. Having said that, that really resonated with me, what your listener just said, because I have a big sound system in my car and very expensive and I listen to podcasts. I catch myself listening to podcasts 90% of the time and then occasionally I'll have the music on and, you know, but yeah, maybe that's just my age. I don't know.
Well, I think you're not alone in that, Craig, and I think what we might see is car manufacturers starting to build in to the car ways to listen to podcasts more. For example, you might hop into the car of the future, could already be here, and say, listen, car, I'm feeling a little bit, you know, hungry. Tell me about some good restaurants. Give us a podcast about restaurants, or I want to hear someone talking about restaurants, and that will just pick something and it will come on and start playing through your car sound system. And I guess in that way, we're going to, you know, continue this, the car is your audio cocoon idea into the future.
I don't know what Peter thinks, but I'd be interested in his opinion because, you know, he speaks to a lot of car guys, but, you know, big sound systems, loud music, getting in your car and driving. I don't know how long that continues for when you have more automation in the car, driverless technology. You've got so many chimes and beeps. Go and look at the dash of a Tesla. You know, you've got so much interface and confusion. There is so much going on, cameras, so many distractions. So music sometimes becomes an additional distraction. You know, we've all been in that car that someone says, oh, could you mind just turning it down? I'm concentrating. while I drive.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether we're heading into that territory of, you know, where sound systems are more active noise control, where they, you know,
well,
play out phase to the engine. So you're quiet in the listening environment.
Well, that's the thing. So that's become a real big thing, as you know, that active noise cancelling. So basically your car's a giant set of active noise cancelling headphones. But what's really going to change in audio, I think, and so there's a lot of that automation. Personal opinion, and I think I'm right because I also have a parallel career in IT, driverless cars are a long way away. We're still going to be driving our cars for a long time to come, despite what Tesla says. hello, if you're listening. They don't have a PR department, so I don't get angry phone calls. So I think what's going to change is it's actually the electrification of cars. And I have noticed that in electric cars, the stereos tend to be better, partly because they are a bit more expensive. But I remember thinking the sound system in the Polestar 2 that I drove for the first time, well, must be getting on 12 months now, I thought that was quite good. And like I said before, I'm not good at picking the best ones, obviously, not like Craig would be, but I thought this feels like a step above because there are fewer noises that the car makes because the electric motors are essentially silent. So what the car companies have to worry about is getting rid of that secondary sounds, which is tire noise, chassis, you know, the roar that comes up through the chassis with all the harmonics and things going on. So that's really going to change things. But where the, you know, like getting in the car and saying, I want to hear podcasts about food, that's all with Google and Apple. Like that's the car companies are actually starting to kind of edge away from doing their own interfaces and doing their own stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of voice control in a lot of cars, which is about, which are actually back-ended by Google in a lot of cases. But where that automation is either coming through expanded Google, expanded Android Automotive, where it will start to take over the whole dash, and Apple CarPlay is going to be the same. So I think audio, particularly things like podcasts, are sort of invading, have kind of started. Well, I think they replaced radio for a while, but then people came back to it because of that live element. And, you know, actually, I was listening to Sizzletown on my way here. This is an interesting kind of collision of these ideas, this pretend live call-in podcast. But I think people did come back to radio as a result of podcasts because audio is so compelling. And the human voice is so compelling, like that texter was saying. And I think there's been an unexpected renaissance of programs like this, driven by podcasts and by people in cars.
Mm.
I think I've made that point correctly. Did I get lost halfway through? Anyway, it sounded all right as I was going.
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It resonates, that connection. Mm. And I think that's what people seek. So they seek the human voice. They seek the podcast, you know, the radio.
Mm.
Yeah.
Daniel from Richmond has texted in, "Hey Nightlife, back in my high school days, I played with car speakers. I found the best song to test the balance was Green Day's Boulevard of Broken Dreams. The clean intro and then the full spectrum blast of music that comes in would be great for catching distortion and balancing."
I love it.
I can just imagine you now, Daniel. Yeah, there must be a reason that song is such a popular one on commercial stations. Maybe it is good for car sound systems.
I think it's got that kind of clarity of sound. The production is quite sparse, really.
Mm.
Like, you've got all that sampling and then suddenly it breaks into this just guitar and voice and drums. And that it's probably that juxtaposition of sounds that people are liking in the audio world. I mean, I know my first thing whenever I bought a car was to get the Clouds Penny Century because that has such a wide range of sounds coming out of it. And to my ear, it's also one of the greatest albums ever made. So I'm like, this is how I test a car stereo.
Mm. You know what you need to do for me, Peter?
Mm.
You need to go and make songs to listen to in your car playlist. And Craig, I think I'll put this challenge to you too. Songs that you need to listen to in your car. And can you send them both to me on cassette, CD, USB, Spotify, the lot, so I have every option of listening. We've got another great text here, Fiona from Lilydale. "Hi, Bridie. Every time I hear Stairway to Heaven, I'm transported back to the 1980s and a friend who brought a VE Beetle with it came... It came with a cassette player that took a square type of cassette, not the normal rectangular tape. Mm. It came with three cassettes and he couldn't get any more. So Deep Purple played repetitively and he never became more than a friend, despite my hopes at that time.
Isn't that an 8-track with the squares?
I was thinking it was an 8-track by the sound.
That's an 8-track. So I think Creedence Clearwater and not much else came on 8-track.
Yeah.
Maybe some early Kate Bush.
They came out, but they didn't last long because then suddenly we had cassette decks. Mm.
I can just imagine you, Fiona and Lily Dale, listening to this one.
In a Beetle.
And it's an 8-minute song as well. I mean, you could do a lot of kilometres in 8 minutes.
Not in a Beetle, you can't. They're too slow.
So good. ABC Radio, you're listening to Nightlife right now. I've been having the best time talking all things car audio with Craig Harrison from Old School Car Audio. Craig, we can check you out online.
Sure can, yep. All the usual social media, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, etc. And we're also on YouTube and website oldschoolcaraudio.com.au.
That's fantastic. And Peter, thank you so much as well for joining us here on Nightlife. You are also on other places on the ABC Radio.
Oh, yeah. I'm often with Josh Zepps in the afternoon, and then when they're scraping the bottom of the barrel somewhere else, they'll give me a call.
This is on ABC Radio
ABC Radio Sydney. I'm often on ABC Radio Adelaide as well, very occasionally on ABC Radio Brisbane. But, yeah, you can see my writing on whichcar.com.au, which is the online home of Wheels magazine, a boyhood dream of mine to work for that magazine.
Very good. And before we wrap up this incredible conversation on car audio, I've got a clip here, Craig, called Alien Weaponry, and I think I just need to play that before we hit the news. What is alien weaponry?
These are from a quick three teenage kids out of New Zealand, the best heavy metal band on the planet. Unbelievable.
Here we go.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.